message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
How many of you plan to be up until midnight to see in the new year? How many of you know you won't be? I think more than half the crowd knows they won't be. How many are you going to try? Yeah, we'll give it our best effort. I didn't realize this. Some of you may already know it because it's probably on the web and everything else, but I don't, you know, Saturday and Sunday, I don't get on that too much. And Jason let me know that today is 123123. How many of y'all knew that already? Yeah, it's 12/31/23, so it's 123123. So I've set my phone to go off at 1:23 p.m., so it's going to be 123123123. And I want to see exactly what I'm doing at 1:23. So you might want to do the same. And if it's anything noteworthy, anything of interest, maybe post it to our page, and we'll see what everybody is doing on 1:23, 1:23, 1:23. We've already missed one of those. How many of y'all were sleeping during that one? Yeah, I was trying to. Hey, today's message, final one of the year. Last week was Christmas, next year, new beginnings. You know, here we are in the middle of that. And so I'm calling it preview. And I'm just going to talk about a few different things that we can expect in 2024, church-wise, world-wise. And so being that I'm talking about different things and not just one topic, it could seem a little disjointed. I hope not. We'll try to make it as smooth as possible. But I want to start with this. You just saw that video. I want to start with this. There's a lot of changes that have taken place in the last year. A lot of changes going to take place next year. But God is the same. And I can tell you, you can expect this in 2024. We're going to preach the same God we've been preaching for the last many years. Amen. A lot of things have changed, but God remains the same. Malachi says, I am the Lord. I do not change. And then Hebrews 13:8, the writer said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God remains the same. So we're going to stay with Jesus for this upcoming year. Amen. We're going to continue to declare that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only door to the Father and eternal life. There is no other name under Him, under heaven, by which a man can be saved other than the name of Jesus. We're going to sign on for that again this year. Now, we live in a politically sensitive climate right now, and that's not popular because we need equality for everybody and inclusion for everybody, even God Himself. And I can just tell you that all gods are not created equal. In fact, our God is not created at all. He has existed forevermore, so it's not politically correct. It's not a popular position, but we're going to stay with that for 2024, and we're going to preach that Jesus is the only way to the Father and that there is only one true God. We're going to stay with the one who overcame death, hell, and the grave. Amen. All right, so that's going to stay the same. The complaint is it's not very inclusive. It is very inclusive. It's open to everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever, it's open to everybody, but you can't come on your terms. He's God, and you have to come on His terms. So, we're going to go with Jesus, still Jesus. We're going to make no apologies for this stance. And if you have questions about that, I'd love to discuss it, because I was talking with somebody just this past week over a cup of coffee, and they said, you know, and they brought up a basketball player who was of another faith, another religion, served another God, and they said, it's just hard for me to believe that they won't go to heaven because they don't serve the God that we serve. I said, my mind doesn't get around that too easily either, but we're going to have to trust God in His Word. There is one way. Jesus is the one who died on the cross. Jesus is the one who came back from the dead, and that's who we're going to proclaim in 2024. Now, that stays the same. One thing that shouldn't stay the same is you. You and I ought to be changing. We need to be growing in the things of God. We need to be becoming better us. I need to be becoming a better of me. I need to become the best version of me that I can. I need to be the best version of me as a pastor, the best version of me as a father, as a husband. So I need to be changing. And I want to give you a little bit of a preview concerning the first couple of series that we're going to deal with on Sunday mornings. In order to become a better you, you're going to have to change. How many of you already know there's some areas that you need to change in your life? Yeah, we all do. Some of you didn't raise your hands, but you know. In order to change, it's going to be a challenge. And so for the first series that we're going to do this coming Sunday, starting this coming Sunday, we're calling it the Better Series, A Better You. And we're going to take 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about three significant key areas in which you're going to have to address in order to have real change. I'm not talking about temporary change. I'm talking about lasting change. We're all good at temporary change. How many of you have lost 10 pounds a lot? Yeah, my goal is to lose 20 pounds, and I've only got 25 more to go. So we're not talking about a short change. We're talking about a lasting change. And if you're going to have lasting change, there's three significant areas that you're going to have to give attention to. And we're going to take 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about those three significant areas. What are they? I ain't telling you. I'll tell you next week, the first one, though. So we'll start the Better Series next week. Hope you can make that. And let me just encourage you, anytime you can't make a service, as soon as this service is over, we post the video on the Facebook page. And then by the next day, sometimes Tuesday, we have the audio on our website, and you can get to it through the app. And the audio is better than the video. You don't have to look at me. I'm glad nobody said amen. So if we're going to have a better us, if we're going to change, it's going to be a challenge, and we're going to need some help with that. So starting the fourth week of January, and listen, don't ironclad me to this, tie me down hard, because if I come up with a fourth thing for the first series, everything will be bumped a week. We got a little flexibility there, but as of right now, we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about better, and then starting on the fourth week, we're going to start a series on the Holy Spirit. I'm calling it, just because I like the term, the Ghost Series. All right? And we're going to it's going to be more of a teaching, and we're going to spend 3 or 4 weeks on the Spirit of God and His purpose, His role in our life. I'm going to tell you this, the change that you need, you can't do it without Him. Okay? So you're going to need some help. So now, let me insert this right here. Paul told Timothy in his final letter, he said, Timothy, and he encouraged him several areas, and one thing he said to do is you need to rightly divide the word of truth. What does that mean to you? Well, some of you got other translations and versions, and it says this, correctly handle the word of truth. Another one says this, rightly explain, accurately explain the word of truth. Listen, the Bible is a two-edged sword. It tells us that about itself. And just like any weapon, it's for your good. But if you misuse it, it can hurt you and others. How many of you know that a shotgun can save your life? And you can accidentally lose your life if you mishandle it. Well, we are not to mishandle the Word of God. And I'm just going to tell you, we have mishandled the Word of God for years on a lot of issues. I like the fact that when I say, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, you can all open your Bibles and find it. But how many of you know that whenever they wrote the Scriptures, they didn't put it in chapters and verse? When Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians church, it was a long letter. We inserted numbers so that we could reference it, so that we can navigate through it, so that I wouldn't have to wait for you for 10 minutes to find where I'm at in the book of Ephesians. But the bad side, the downside to all of the numbers and verses is now we cherry pick and we put it on our refrigerator or a bumper sticker in our car, or we quote it, and it's out of context, and it doesn't even mean what you're saying that it means, but you've lifted it out of its setting. So on this 3 or 4 week study of the Holy Spirit, we want to teach more than preach, and there'll be some preaching, but we're going to teach. I want to explain. The Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter. But for some, this is one of the most uncomfortable topics that there is. And some of it's uncomfortable because of tradition, because of things you've heard. Some of the things you've heard are true. Some of the things you've heard are not true. We just want to push all of that aside, look at the Word of God, rightly divide it, correctly handle it, put it in context. Listen, we should never be afraid to do that. I didn't grow up in this, so I think that's a little bit of an advantage for me, because once you're put in something, it's hard not to see the other somethings. That make sense? Because you're told, this is what this says, this is what this means, this is what we believe. And so when you read, it's filtered through all of the stuff that's already been told to you. Yeah. And to read it with an unbiased disposition is sometimes challenging for everybody, me included. But it's even more challenging for those who grew up and were steeped in and have never looked outside the windows at other things. It's kind of like growing up in America and never getting over to another country. You really just don't know enough to be able to really explain. And I'm not trying to say that I know. I'm just trying to tell you, we want to just push everything aside, and then let's just look at it. And let me just tell you this as well. We're not going to call you up and huddle up around you, put our hands on you, and shake and spit until you do something. We're not going to do that. We're going to encourage you to follow after God and to follow after the Word of God. And we will not embarrass you. We will not do anything like that. It is going to be a safe zone, and you can trust not only God and the Word, but you can trust His pastor. Yes. All right? So we're going to do the better series, the ghost series. By then, it's Valentine's, I think. We'll see. Let me tell you a little bit about what's coming on Wednesdays. Starting Wednesday, not this Wednesday, we're off this Wednesday. Are all classes off this Wednesday? All classes are off this Wednesday. We pick it back up on January the 10th. And what we're going to do in our adult study is we're going to, I believe it's either a 4 or 6 week study. It's a video assisted study on prayer, you know, a short video, and then I take it from there. And so we're going to take some time, and we're just going to revisit the subject of prayer. We're going to, stoke the fire in the area of prayer. So we'll do the video, we'll do some teaching, probably take the last 10 to 15 minutes of every Wednesday on that, while we're on the topic of prayer, to pray. But so that's going to be the first study or series on Wednesday. Listen, Wednesdays are good. That was the people who come. Some of you can't come on Wednesday, I get it. We start at 7 o'clock. We've been off a little while, I forget. Yeah, we start at 7 o'clock, but we feed supper to everybody at no cost, and we do that so that you don't, you know, have to go home, make supper for everybody, and then come here. It's like, we just take care of the supper for you to save you some time, because some of you, you have a tough schedule. You work until a certain time. Some of you, it's impossible for you to make it. You work till 6:30, and you're an hour away, and so, but if you can make it, we want to encourage you to make Wednesday nights. So we'll do that study on prayer. I don't know what's exactly next, but somewhere, probably this year, probably in the first or second quarter, we're going to do the temperament study. It's been many years since we've done that, and this is where I'm going to help you learn about you. And we're going to find out your strengths and your weaknesses. How many of y'all have been through the temperament study? Yeah, a lot of you haven't. And for some of you, you've been through it and you kind of know where you're at, but you've been changing and growing in Jesus, so you're going to take it again and find out how well you're doing, all right? So we're going to do that, and then somewhere, again, we're not in order here, but I've done a series on heaven. I've done it a couple of times in the last 10 or 12 years. We're going to do a series on Wednesday night on the subject of hell. It's not a topic. It's not a comfortable topic. I'll just tell you, this pastor right here, I wish there was no such thing as hell. Yeah. But again, if we're going to embrace the Word of God, we're going to have to find out what God says about it. And if God says something you don't like, well, God is true, and that's it. Yeah. But just like heaven, is everything that we believe about hell biblically accurate? We need to handle the Word of God carefully and rightly divide the word of truth. When we talk about heaven, you know, and I've clarified this with you, you know, so you've been through the study, so this is not new to you, most of you, but I ask you, what do you know about heaven? Streets of gold, gates of pearl, clouds, harps, Peter at the gate. That comes from the Hallmark cards. We don't know that no Peter's at the gate. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. I've said this in the study. I'll say it this morning. Has no appeal to me. No appeal. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. It does nothing for me. Not even a little bit. I just want the pothole in my street fixed. I don't need gold. I just need pavement. You can get caught up in vanity. I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Well, we've mishandled the word of God there. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have a mansion over the hilltop. It says in my house, but the Father says this, in my house are many mansions. My Father has many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Maybe you have a mansion. Maybe you have a closet. Whatever you have, you will be happy. It will be better than here. Maybe the streets are gold and the gates of pearl. I mean, the gates of pearl, we're talking about Old Testament, city of Jerusalem. And I don't know how it's all going to work. Let me tell you about heaven. It's a real place. But sometimes we get all this stuff that's not in the Word of God, and we lock onto it, and we get this little fantasy thing going on, and it's really not even that good of a fantasy. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, and a mansion. I don't want a mansion. I'm having trouble keeping up with the house we got. There's no repairs on the mansion in heaven. That's good news. Where was I going? Don't say hell. Now, I want to talk about the subject of hell. And again, we want to handle the word of truth correctly. I don't know what your concept is, what your belief about hell is. But we're going to take 3 or 4 weeks to just look into the Bible and dig and see what we can learn. All right? I'll tell you this. I remember when I got saved in 1982, I had, and this may not be true for everybody, but for me, I had this insatiable desire, hunger, thirst for the Word of God. I mean, I had a Bible. My uncle had given it to me. I went and found it in the closet. I'm a hoarder. I don't throw things away. I need to work on that. And I found that Bible. I took it out of the box. It was 7 years old, but it was brand new. It had the smell. It had never been opened. I opened it, and I started reading. I started getting answers, and for every answer I got 4 questions. And I just had this insatiable thirst for the Word of God. And I started reading the New Testament at recommendation. And as I'm reading through the Gospels, I remember this, and this is what I took on. As I'm reading the Gospels, this thought hits me. Wow. Everybody's going to hell. Most people are. Thank God I'm not. And I'm not. What about you? Did anybody else read the Word of God? And as you read, it's like, everybody's going to hell. There's a wide gate, and everybody's on it, a wide road. There's a narrow road, and few there be that find it. Many are going to hell, few are going to heaven. Comforting for our last message of the year, isn't it? Well, no. Again, you're reading with preconceived ideas and things you've been told along the way, and you're picking up ideas. I'm going to share with you a passage in just a moment just to show you how easy it is to take on a belief, and then it turns out to be built on a faulty premise. How many of y'all, whether you love math or hate math, you've worked math problems? You know, some of them problems can take a full page or 2 or 3, and as you're working the problem, you make a little addition error right here, and then you keep working the problem. You can do the rest of it correct all the way, but the answer is going to be wrong because of the little mistake you made way back here. Right. And sometimes we declare something, and then we build our truth and our belief system on that something, and it's everything here is right, but we grabbed hold of something back here that was wrong, and we built on that. Did that make sense?
Yes.
I remember reading this verse right here. And again, I mean, I'm not a dummy. I graduated in the top of my class, but I'm not churchified. I don't have any church experience. I've never been to church. I haven't sat under preaching. There's not any television preaching. I don't know the Bible. I don't know where the book of Matthew is. I don't know anything. I've never heard of Trinity. I've never heard of the rapture, tithing. What is that? Don't know. I don't know anything. And so I'm reading the Bible, And I'm reading King James because that's what was recommended. So I'm reading the these and the thous. So I'm doing my best. And I come across a verse where it says, it's better to marry than burn. I thought, well, man. Immediately, I mean, if I see the word fire or burn or hot, I'm thinking hell. So it's better, here's what I interpreted it. It's better to marry than go to hell. I'm just going to say that's true. Maybe I want you to know that is true. And that's exactly what it says in the King James. It's better to marry than burn. But in context, understanding of the original language and the meaning of word, you find out it's better to marry than to burn with passion that can't be fulfilled. That's a little better. I'm just telling you that as I read the Bible for the first time, I took on things. And what I want to do in our, what we do on Wednesdays especially, is we try to dive in and just, you know, set aside things and let's see what we can learn about God's word. I think it's a good attitude, position to take. I want to go to John chapter 3 now. I want to read the first 7 verses. We're going to put them on the screen for you. It says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied and said, very, sir, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, I want to stop there. Unless they are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in my mind, I took that, unless you're born again, you don't go to heaven. Maybe that's true, but is it saying that? Is the kingdom of God equivalent to heaven? By the way, one of our Wednesday studies, we're going to do a deep study on the kingdom of God. So I'm going to just give you enough to whet your appetite and leave you with unanswered questions, and you can come Wednesdays. I won't leave you hanging too much. But he says this, you got to see the kingdom of God. Now let's go on to the next verse. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Now this is a smart man. He's just on the wrong page. Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So now Jesus is saying something similar, but it's a little bit different now. Earlier he said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now he's saying you've got to be born of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Now the words see and enter are different words. Are they different words in the original text? Yes, they are. So you can't even see heaven unless you're born again. And now unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you can't enter heaven. This is what I'm picking up. And what is born of water? I ran into somebody who told me. They said that you got to be water baptized. I said, okay. So you got to be water baptized and born again to go to heaven. Well, we don't believe that. How did we get around this? Well, this is a mishandling of the Word of God. Let me read verses 6 and 7 and come back to this. Verse 6 and 7. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus at night. It's Nick at night. Just let it go. My brain needs help sometimes. And so Jesus says, born of the water, born of the Spirit. The next verse says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So now instead of water and spirit, we've got flesh and spirit. The water birth is the flesh birth. What happens, woman, when it's time to go? Woman, where did that come from? To all the women here, what happens? You're with child, and now it's time to go to the hospital. What breaks? The water breaks. It's a water birth. It's a flesh birth. Jesus says you got to be born of water and spirit. That which is flesh, that's the water birth, is flesh. But there is another birth, born again. See, the first time you were born of the flesh, but you got to be born again. What does again mean? Second time. The first birth is a flesh birth, and here you are. The second birth is a spiritual birth. You got to be born of the water, of the flesh, and of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. So let's go a little further. My understanding was the kingdom of God is God's kingdom. God's kingdom is heaven. And there's other places in the Gospels, Matthew, where he says kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God. So it seems to, okay, so we're talking about going to heaven. I want to go back to verse 3 where Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And then verse 5, he says, if you're not born again, born of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. That word see means to know. You can't know the kingdom of God. You can't see it. You can't know it. Consider this. I'm going to give you something to consider, and we do this on Wednesdays. I don't come across in a dogmatic way very often. There are some things I'm dogmatic about, but what I like to do is throw it out there, tell you where I lean, what I see, and if you lean a little differently, we don't ever let you come back again. No, not the truth. Church, it's foolish to think that we're going to all be on the same page on every doctrine there is in the Word of Almighty God. We're all learning and growing, church. Yeah, them other denominations got a long way to go. They'll catch up with us. I don't know why that came out. Just going to let that go. The kingdom of God. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. I've said it this way. There's three kingdoms. The magic kingdom, set that one aside. Now we've got two kingdoms. We've got the kingdom of God, and then we've got the dark kingdom. The kingdom of God is a light. It's a kingdom of light. The other kingdom, Satan's kingdom, is a kingdom of darkness. John 12, 46 says this. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. You've got a kingdom of light. You've got a kingdom of darkness. Jesus came so that you didn't have to live over here. You don't have to live in the dark. You can live in the light. The kingdom over here, good. The kingdom over here, evil. Kingdom over here, right. Kingdom over here, wrong. Isaiah prophesied that there would come a day when good and evil are going to trade places. And it's going to get really confusing. And you better have the gift of discernment. You better hang on to the Word of God or you're going to get washed up in the confusion. This is the kingdom of life. This is the kingdom of death. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundant. But the enemy, his kingdom, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. This is the kingdom of salvation. This is the kingdom of condemnation. This, in this kingdom, Jesus is king, and Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. This is truth in this kingdom. The devil is the father of all lies. Lies are in this kingdom. Truth is in this kingdom. There's two kingdoms. The two kingdoms are opposite. In one kingdom, the first shall be last. In the other kingdom, the first shall be first. How many of y'all know that God's word and the world's way of operation is often exact opposites? When you're born into one kingdom. When you're born again, you're pulled out of darkness into his marvelous light, into the other kingdom. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't see, you can't enter this kingdom. I want you to consider something with me. Now, don't call me today. It's the last day of the year. Give me till tomorrow. I'm not coming across as dogmatic here. I'm going to give you something to consider. Consider the kingdom, domain. The domain where a king rules, that's his kingdom. Jesus, his kingdom, he is king and has domain there. The devil is king and has domain over here with darkness and lies. So consider that when you are born again, you leave the dominion of one king and you fall under the dominion of the new king. Consider that what I just read to you in John has nothing to do with heaven eternity. Consider that it has to do with right now as to which kingdom you're in. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I can't go too deep in this. We'll go deeper on Wednesdays, but I want to give you enough. I don't want to leave you confused. And I'm not saying that if you're not born again, you'll go to heaven. I'm not saying everybody goes to heaven. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, let me share my testimony. I got saved on a Tuesday night. I immediately skipped church on Wednesday. My grandfather died, and so one thing led to another. So I didn't make church Wednesday, or I would have. I went to work. I missed work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I had 3 days off because of the funeral. Saturday, and then boom, Sunday. I come to church on Sunday. It's my first Sunday in church as a believer. I walk in. I don't know anything. I don't know anybody. But I'm sitting there. We go through worship. And then we got to this part where he said, does anybody want to testify? I don't know what that means. Anybody want to testify? And somebody stood up and thanked the Lord for something. Somebody stood up and moaned and groaned about something. Somebody stood up and praised the Lord for this or for that. And so I figured it out. I'm not a dummy. I go, oh, testify. I can't explain it. But inside of me, there was just something wanting to get out. I don't like talking in front of people. Here I am. I raise my hand. I stand up. It's a pretty packed house. Some of you were there. You may remember this. I don't know the exact verbiage, but it's very close. I made comment that on Tuesday night I got saved and that I saw for the first time, I used the word world. I saw two different worlds and I was in one when I thought I was in the other. And now I'm in the other. Could it be that my testimony lines up with what John 3 is all about? Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the other kingdom. Don't talk about going to heaven. You're not even going to. How many of you have ever witnessed to somebody in the other kingdom, and you've given them your best stuff, and they have stared at you like a blank wall? Yeah. Why? They can't see that kingdom. That's right. That song, I once was blind, but now I see. That's a very, very accurate truth as to what happens when you're born again, you come out of one kingdom into another. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced a lot of people in church aren't really born again. They believe in Jesus. They're on the way to heaven, but they don't see all that they need to see. I lost some of you there. For me, it was like a light turned on. I was in darkness, didn't know it. How many of you know when you're in darkness, you don't really know it? Everybody else is in darkness, so everything's the same. There's a light over here. I don't realize. All of a sudden, I see the light. Something that had been there the whole time that I'd never seen is now revealed to me. It's like one of them illusion pictures. It looks like a bunch of garbage, but if you stare at it and look into it deep and hold your head just right, boom, you see a boat. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Them pictures? There's a name for them, I forget. And there's a picture within the illusion, within all the chaos. There's a picture, and it's right in front of you, but you can't see it. And then all of a sudden, oh, I see it. That's exactly the way it happened for me on that Tuesday night. All of a sudden, I saw things I had never seen before. And then I entered in to that kingdom. And this is the kingdom I live in. This is the kingdom I follow. This is the way I raise my kids in this kingdom. I make decisions to the best of my ability from this kingdom. There was a change. So again, I'm not saying that people who aren't born again will go to heaven. I'm telling you that it's bigger than that. Being born again has to do with seeing his kingdom right now. And I tell you, for the days that are coming in this world, you better have your eyes open and see in this kingdom. Amen. We'll come back to that on a Wednesday. I want to get into one more thing today. I want to share with you two choices that followers of Jesus face every day. You make them, whether you realize it or not, and they're going to be before you this coming year, these same two choices, and you'll have to make them, and it may be a little more challenging to make them in the days ahead. Here's the first choice. The first choice is you're going to have to choose Jesus or you. Now, the choice between Jesus and another God, for most of us is easy. Jesus or Buddha?
Jesus.
All right, what about Jesus or Muhammad?
Jesus.
What about Gandhi?
Jesus.
Name any other God is Jesus. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. But when it comes down to living life, you've got to choose Jesus over self. And that is a much more challenging decision. It's easy for me to reject Gandhi. Not as a bad person, but as a God. May have been a great person, I don't know. It's easy for me to reject these other false little G-O-D-S gods. Easy to reject them. It's not always easy to reject me. The Bible says, crucify the flesh. It's not easy. So these are choices we make every day. We got to choose Jesus or ourselves. So here's, I'll give you a couple of statements. The choice between Jesus and you is the one decision that we all have to make on a regular basis. Paul told us this, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. What was the price? The blood of Jesus. You've been bought, to be churchy about it, by the blood of the Lamb. Church people know what that means. Other people look at you, that sounds gross. Sounds like cruelty to lambs. We know what it means. But we've been bought with a price. If you've been bought, when I go to Walmart and I buy something, it belongs to me. You've been bought. You belong to Him. When something belongs to me, I can do what I want with it. I can throw it in the trash as soon as I get home. It's mine. I can put it on a shelf. I can use it, not use it. It belongs to me. I make the decisions. We belong to Him. He makes the decisions. And when He gives us the decisions, we then have to choose Jesus or me. So choosing Jesus over a false God, no problem. Choosing Jesus over self can be a challenge. So, that's the first choice that we face every day and will continue to face. And here's the second one. And this one is going to become quite challenging in the days to come. Bible or culture? Bible or culture? The cultural war is pretty intense. And 2024 is an election year. Aren't you glad? Yes and no. Election years, they have gotten to be quite tense, stressful, chaotic. This year is going to be no different. You're going to see a lot this year, what you saw 4 years ago and 4 years before that, and then some. It's going to be a roller coaster of a ride in the political scene. In the political scene, thank God we're not into politics. No, we're not. But some of you still don't realize that politics and morality, there is overlap on a lot of that. When it comes to border issues, there's a moral issue hidden in there. When it comes to the topic of abortion, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to marriage, there's moral issues in that. And the Bible addresses them, and we will not be silent on these issues. So in 2024, you can expect me to call out the culture as the Lord leads. I'm not going to just poke the bear just to make people mad, but we are not going to ignore the Bible, God's word, on what it says against what the culture is telling us. Amen. And you're going to have to choose. Am I going to embrace Bible or culture? The moral climate of our nation, issues of sexuality, that's not going away. There are churches that have move towards it now, move towards the culture, away from the Bible. The Methodist Church right now is in the middle of a major split over the issue of transgenderism and homosexuality. They are splitting. There's the denominations that want to hold to the Word of God, so we're going to do this. Others are going, and we're going to shift, and they're going to do that. Before this thing is done, I don't know how many denominations we have right now on earth, a lot. But maybe we can triple that number before 2024 ends. The upcoming generations are confused. They don't know what icicles are. Now, see, that's on tape, and that story was shared before we started recording, so if you're listening by tape, you don't even understand what I'm talking about. They don't know who Jimmy Stewart is. A lot of them have never heard of Barney Fife. And that is sad. We taught our kids growing up about Jesus and Barney Fife. You need to know these two people. So what are we going to do with the generation that is confused? Well, we don't want to hurt their feelings. No, we don't want to intentionally hurt anybody's feelings. Well, love is love. Well, love is love, but the Bible says love rejoices with the truth. So what are we going to do with the truth aspect of things? You know, all truth without love, that's kind of harsh, but all love without truth, that's not very good either. So there's got to be a balance of love and truth, and we don't want to just make people mad and hurt people's feelings at the same time, but we can't simply embrace what everybody's embracing just so we can all smile and get along. Listen, we're not going to all smile and get along. There's two kingdoms. They're separate. They don't get along. Jesus himself said, I have come to bring a sword, and it will separate mother from daughter. Some of you, just raise your hand. How many of you have got family in the dark kingdom? Yeah. So there's separation there. What are we going to do about that? We're going to pray. We're going to live truth. We're going to share truth. We're going to love. We're going to witness. We're going to love people regardless of where they are in their journey of life.
Amen.
But we don't want to compromise the Word of God. Let me give you one more statement for the day. We're about to land the plane. We have moved so far from God's standards that the truth now seems ridiculous. Even the church people. Even the people who've been brought up in church. And the word ridiculous, I started to change it. There's other words. Laughable. We have moved so far from God's standards that now to hang on to God's word, you are the laughingstock. You're out of sync. You're out of touch. But how many of you know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. And Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I am the Lord thy God, and I do not change. Now, there are some things we may need to change because we've mishandled the Word of God and we've built some traditional things. Church, we don't need to hang on to man-made tradition, but we do need to hang on to God's Word. And like Paul told Timothy, we need to cling to our faith. Many will shipwreck their faith in 2024, and it's because they embrace the culture over the Bible. Those two choices. You've got to choose Jesus over you and Bible over culture. We cannot be swayed by the so-called experts more than we are the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to invite you to come and join me here at this front area of the church near the altars on the purple stripe here and sing this together. Church, we're going to need each other more in 24 than we did in 23. And if there is a 25, we'll need each other more than then. As we see the day approaching, the Lord says, you're going to need each other more and more. You're going to need somebody that's of like-mindedness and that's of your faith, because you're going to live with all kinds of people and work with people and go to school with people, live in the neighborhoods with people who don't agree with you. And we may not agree on everything, but we agree on this. Jesus is King of Kings. And Jesus is Lord of Lords, and God's word is true.
Yes.
We believe that. So as we begin to sing, we'll come up to the front, and then before we leave here, we will pray together and dismiss. I am about out of breath, so I'm going to sit for just a little while. I thank God for my victory in 2023. Thank him for what he did for me. People often ask, so how are you doing? What's the symptoms? The only symptom I have is I can get out of breath easier than I used to, and that's going to get better over time. It's going to take several months, he said. So I have to pace myself. So what that means is I have to get out of the left lane and get over into the right lane at times. And sometimes I have to get into the school zone. And sometimes I hold up traffic in the school zone. I've just had to pace myself. So thank you again for your prayers, and we thank God for just being able to do anything and everything. Amen. Listen, if you are lost, if you don't know him, if your home is that kingdom of darkness, I want to invite you to come and know Jesus before you leave today. Now, if you're just in a place, well, I'm not sure, then I would encourage you to seek God until he makes himself known to you. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.